The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio with myself, Donal Kavanagh. We have lots lined up, as always, on the show this morning. But, of course, as ever, the absolute centre of this programme is your views, your perspectives and your take on the events of the day. If you want to comment on what's been happening, or indeed if you have any issues you'd like to raise with us, you can call us on 074-91-25000. You can use the 0035-374-91-25000. If you are outside of the Republic and calling from Northern Ireland, you can text us or WhatsApp us on 086 60 25000. And of course you can use our social media. We're at Highland Radio on X, and we are in Highland Hub on Facebook. Also, of course, you can watch the show unfold. We'll have Zoom guests over the course of the morning, or guests in studio, and you can see them in Technicolor on your smartphone or your smart TV or your tablet or computer or whatever device you use. And you can access it either through our Facebook pages, the news, or the 9 till noon show pages, or the Highland Radio page indeed, or you can do so through YouTube. Highland Radio Ireland is our YouTube channel, and you can see the show there, and indeed watch previous shows back as well. It's a Monday morning, so as we look at the papers this morning, we start with the Derry People Donegal News. I haven't actually said Derry People Donegal News for a long time. It's the Donegal News, obviously. I remember back when I came to Letterkenny first, everyone called it the Derry People, and it took a lot of rebranding and a lot of work to actually get people to actually now call it the Donegal News, as we do. So, the Donegal News this morning, Monday edition, and the main headline, of course, you'll have been hearing on the news since yesterday. 9-year-old boy dies in Bundoran hit and run. Garthy confirm man in his 20s arrested and vehicle seized. Also, further tragedy on the front of the Donegal News this morning. Moville Road death, and a picture of Mary Whitters Borland, who died in a collision in Moville on Friday. The mother of two in her 50s was killed when her car was in collision with a lorry on the R238 at around 8 o'clock on Friday morning. So double road tragedy, sadly, on the front of the Donegal News. Also confirmation that Dave Rogers has resigned as boss of Finn Harps. He resigned for personal and family reasons. His resignation followed another defeat for Harps, sadly, at the hands of Cove Ramblers. Front of the Derry News on Monday: I am cried out and stressed out. A young Derry mum-to-be fears she'll go into early labour due to the stress of being made homeless in 3 weeks' time, with just 5 weeks to go till her baby is due. She told the Derry News she was cried out and stressed out 3 days after she was told she needed to get out of the house because it was being put for sale. She ended up in the fetal maternal assessment unit in Altmacgalvin, she said. She's been paying her rent regularly for the past 3 years, and just to be told to get out, she says she can't process what's happening at the moment. Also on the front, in one of the little banners at the top, Derry declared an international city of peace, and the documents signed, a picture there of Reverend David Latimer and the Mayor, Councillor Patricia Logue, and others on the inside of the paper there. The city's become the latest to be inducted into the International Cities of Peace Global Network, and that's a really good story there for Derry, so you can read all about that on your Derry News this morning. Now, going to the National, is the front of the Irish Independent: price of three-bedroom semi-home returns to Celtic Tiger Peak. The price of a three-bedroom semi-detached home nationally has breached the €300,000 mark for the first time since 2007. Prices for homes outside the capital and major cities are soaring. And there's a fuller report inside in the paper. Now, as you would expect, prices in this region are nowhere near the prices nationally. I'm just looking the price, average price for a house in Donegal, €157,500. Now, that's 1.6% up over the course of the past 3 months. And I think, I'm just glancing through the figures, I think that actually may be the cheapest in the country at the moment. Leitrim's 178,500. Longford's 172,200. Roscommon, 210. Yeah, I think it is actually. Donegal is the cheapest three-bedroom semi-average in the country now, and that's €157,500. The national average, pretty much twice that. That's according to our Irish Independent this morning. Lovely picture of Leona Maguire celebrating the retention of the Solheim Cup by Europe yesterday. It followed an epic contest with Team USA in Caceres in Spain. And Leona Maguire, one of the heroes of that European team, and that's been acknowledged by the Americans, I think, as well as the Europeans. And well done to Leona and all the Solheim Cup players. And may that streak continue into the Ryder Cup, which I think takes place next week, unless I'm very much mistaken, which I very possibly am, because I know very little about sport, let's be honest. Irish Times this morning. Ministers in budget clash on €1 billion health overspent. I can't think of the last time I did this programme where there wasn't at least one health story on the front of at least one of the papers. And this one is... Now, it's the sort of story you expect coming up to a budget. Ministers are set to clash today over a projected €1 billion overrun in the Department of Health. Now, we've known for some time there's going to be an overrun. The Health Minister was quite clear about that in speeches over the past couple of weeks. But there's rising tension, we're told, between the HSE and the Department of Public Expenditure. And a senior source says there is a view in public expenditure that billions of extra funding has been given to health in recent years, and that spending must be reined in. And it's leading to what we're told is a difficult budgetary negotiation. Now, this is coming at a time when we know that capacity in our hospitals is nowhere near what it should be. So on the one hand, public expenditure is telling health you're going to have to scale back your spending. On the other hand, everyone from politicians to consultants are telling the government we need more capacity. And there is something going to have to give in that particular discussion. EPA warns of air pollution threat to public health. Report advises using less solid fuel and cutting traffic to meet World Health Organization targets. Air quality in Ireland, Kevin O'Sullivan writes, is generally good, but there are persistent, concerning, localised issues threatening public health due to highly damaging fine particulate pollution. That's according to the EPA. Now, we know there are a certain amount of measures being put in place. Letterkenny, for instance, has a ban in fuel for several years now on smoky coal, and that's going to be extended to other parts of the country. And indeed rural parts as well. So we may very well see more smokeless coal being introduced in Donegal in the coming months and years. I think indeed that is the plan, to the best of my knowledge, that we'll see more smokeless coal per se, and those bans will be extended. Now, whether it will be extended to an extent that meets these World Health Organization targets obviously remains to be seen. Now, let's go to the Irish Daily Mail. Now, budget warning from government TDs. And this is one that comes up, particularly, I think, from Fine Gael on a regular basis. The squeezed middle must be protected. And TDs have told the Finance Minister to protect the squeezed middle as the budget countdown begins. Now, I mean, anxious Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs want Michael McGrath's first budget to prioritise the squeezed middle, who've been hit with increased household bills of up to €4,000 a year. Now, coming in the middle of a cost of living crisis, you have two issues here. On the one hand, you have those who obviously need support. There are those who are facing eviction. There are those who are below the poverty line. And we're told more and more people are below the poverty line who are working. And I think the most, the most telling phrase I've heard in the past couple of years, I mean, to me, what crystallises all this, when you talk about the impact of the cost of living crisis and the impact it's having on people and this economic downturn. And so, sometimes we can talk about macroeconomics and microeconomics, and it's all this big airy-fairy up in the air discussion. But to my mind, the phrase that always brings it home to me is when you listen to Rosa Dlacken and her colleagues in St. Vincent de Paul, when they tell us that people who previously donated to St. Vincent de Paul are now using the service. Now, it's a simple thing, but I think it's what really sort of puts it into perspective. People who previously regularly donated to St. Vincent de Paul now avail of St. Vincent de Paul's service. That tells us where we are as a society. It tells us the seriousness of the situation that we're in with this cost of living. Now, in order to get votes, obviously the Fine Gael people want to make sure that those who are on average industrial wages and slightly above, perhaps, are protected in the budget. It's an interesting one, and it's going to. I would not like to be Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue in this forthcoming budget. Michael McGrath, obviously, as finance minister, has got to make these decisions relating to things like the payments and the supports and all that, and taxation. Pascal Donoghue, as head of public expenditure and that ministry, Pascal Donoghue has got to be dealing with these questions like health that we referenced in that previous story. So they now are going to find themselves trying to square circles right, left and centre. On the one hand, they need to bring in more measures that support people who are affected by a cost of living crisis, which is creating serious poverty and putting people in an extremely precarious position. You have a mortgage situation where more and more people, because of interest rates now, we're told, are coming under pressure to pay their mortgages. And what sort of reliefs are they going to get in terms of supporting them in meeting their mortgage payments over the coming months and years? Let's face it, the rates are not going to start going down anytime soon the way it looks. I mean, it looks as though the European Central Bank may be reaching the peak of the increases, but there's been minuscule increases every month now for about 10, 11 months, and it's going to stay up there for the moment. Now, it's been higher over the years. Let's face it, when my wife and I first started looking at buying a house in 1990, 91, We ended up buying in 93. When we were looking initially, as we were getting married in 1991, interest rates at the time were 15%. The rates were 15%. So we sort of decided once the rate went down to 10%, or if they even hit single figures, then we would start looking at. And that's what happened. I think eventually, if I recall, we got a fixed rate mortgage for about 9%. When we actually bought in 93. But so, you know, the figures will go up, and we could see the interest rate go up and up and up and up and up further. So there are people in difficulty paying mortgages at the moment. So you have these sort of tensions that the government's going to have to meet, because on the one hand, they're being told you have to support people. On the other hand, they're being told, and let's face it, what are these Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil TDs saying? Lads, we depend on the squeeze middle for our votes. And that's what they're saying. There's a general election coming up in what? February 25. Most probably about a year's time. Most probably it'll be August. October, maybe November next year. So we're talking about a year to the next general election. And this forthcoming budget, that's the one that's going to sort of set the scene for that particular debate. Right. The Irish Sun this morning. Driver is held over death of Ronan 9. Car left scene after schoolboy knocked down. A man's been arrested over hit and run crash that killed a 9-year-old boy. Ronan Wilson from County Tyrone died after he was struck by a car in Bundoran when he was on holiday with his family on Saturday evening. And looking at a picture of Ronan, he's holding up this cup, the Paddy Cullen Memorial plaque. It's a trophy his team won, and he captained the team in Kildress, the Wolftones, I think, in Kildress, and he held it up. And I was watching the pictures last night, and I couldn't help wondering, you know, what have we been denied, and what have Tyrone been denied? I mean, you know, look into the future, look in 14, 15, 16 years into the future. Tyrone are on the field in Clonus in an Ulster final. You know, what have they been now denied? A little 9-year-old boy who's been knocked down in Bundoran, is that denying Tyrone someone who might have been a potential goal scorer in 15 years' time in an Ulster final that could have made a huge difference for a Tyrone football team? And that's the real tragedy. Well, it's not the only tragedy, obviously, but it's one of the real tragedies about stories like this, where a young person loses their life and you find yourself wondering, what would they have been? What would they have become? Are we looking at the face on our papers this morning of someone who in 15 years' time might have been a budding Tyrone captain? It's horrendously sad and tragic to think of what's been lost, first and foremost, obviously, by his family, by his friends, by his local community, but the wider community as well. A loss like this reverberates out, and it reverberates into the future. And, you know, the potential of what might have happened, you know, is now potentially gone, and that is awful. Four lives lost on roads, the banner headline in the Irish Daily Mirror. Man held as boy 9 is killed in hit and run. But Ronan was one of a number of people that died in our roads. Co-driver Damien Fleming lost his life at a rally in Clare yesterday, and a pedestrian in Kerry and a motorcyclist in Dublin were also killed in separate weekend collisions. And when you think that last week we began the conversation about zero road deaths by 2050, you know, it's a very, very sad situation. Front of the Irish Daily Star this morning, a very sad story from Galway. A man was killed at a cattle market after a bullock jumped out of the ring and into a crowd at a mart in Loughrea. Tributes have been poured in for Mike McLaughlin after he died following the incident at the mart. And the main headline, obviously, is boy killed in hit-and-run horror. Irish Daily Star sports headlines at the top of the paper on the front. Fears Johnny Sexton in race to be fit for Scots. And a picture of Johnny Sexton receiving treatment just for cramp there toward the end of that epic match on Saturday. I don't know, I sometimes wonder how sports fans manage to do it. I was watching that match at home on Saturday night, and I have to be honest, talk about heart being in your mouth. It was like, what's going on here? What a match. What a match. How well did those boys do? You know, I know there's this, isn't there, this sort of thing that Ireland have always gone out at the quarter-final stages in a World Cup, and there's this sort of hoodoo, will we ever get beyond the quarter-final? I mean, okay, they have to dispatch Scotland first, and that's not going to be easy. Said he, talking as though he knew what he was talking about, which, let's be honest, largely he doesn't. My daughter's a huge rugby fan, though. Daughter's a major rugby fan. Loves it. I can't claim to be at all. But, I mean, you know, it's going to be a very, very interesting couple of weeks in France at the World Cup. And Ireland, certainly 3 out of 3 so far. And what a game they played on Saturday night. Obviously, the newspapers this morning, as we said, dominated by that tragedy in Bundoran. A 9-year-old boy, Ronan Wilson, from the Kildress area of Tyrone, had been spending the weekend in Bundoran in Donegal with his parents when he was hit by a vehicle on Saturday night and lost his life. The driver of the vehicle failed to stop. A man in his 20s has subsequently been arrested and is in Garda detention at present. The picture of Ronan that everyone is seeing on their papers, on their TV screens, is a picture of a smiling young lad in a GAA strip holding up a trophy. It reads the Paddy Cullen Memorial Plaque. I think it's Cookstown written above, and he obviously is celebrating after winning something. He was a member of Kildress Wolf Tones GAA Club. Dominic McGurk is the club chair. Dominic, good morning.
Good morning.
Dominic, I'm sure you were present when that photograph of Ronan was taken. I'm sure it was a day of celebration, obviously, at competition won by your club in Tyrone. When you were there that day, standing, I'm sure, beside Ronan, celebrating with him and the team, little did you know what was going to unfold just a short time later.
Yeah, that day, it was actually Sir Paddy Cullen, the local club, Cookstown Fire Rocks, Sir Paddy Cullen, under 9.5 tournament, and Kildare were lucky to win that tournament last year. And you can see by the smile on Ronan's face, he was a very proud lad that day, lifting the shield on behalf of his teammates and his club.
I was commenting earlier that, I mean, one of the things that's lost in a tragedy like this is the potential for the future, and who knows what the situation might have been in 15, 16, 17 years' time. Have we potentially lost a future Tyrone captain?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as saying that, but certainly the memories we have of Ronan, he had something to offer in the future, and who knows what was in front of him, but tragically that's taken from him now. But Ronan was one of these bubbly lads, just he loved his football, and we're just devastated.
One of the things you found yourself doing, Dominic, over the past 24 hours, I'm sure, is speaking to Ronan's clubmates, his teammates in the under-19, you know, and other people in the club. And I know in places, particularly like Tyrone, where GAA is so strong and that club and parish identity is so strong, it must have been a very, very difficult 24 hours for you and your colleagues in Wolf Tones.
It has. Everyone in the club, you know, from the coaches, players, committee members, supporters, it's been a very difficult 24 hours. But we've got an awful support from within Tyrone, from the county board, from neighbouring clubs, from clubs in Armagh, Down, Derry. The amount of messages and phone calls we've got from our clubs, it's just unreal the way the GAA pulls together at a time like this.
The other thing, of course, is, you know, as we say, at the heart of the parish is the GAA. And Ronan isn't just some random lad that walked in. You know his brother, you know his sister, you know his parents. They've all been involved in the club.
Yeah, they're all involved in the club. His older brother, Callum, plays on the 14s and on the 16s. His sister, Amy, plays for the under 12 girls. The Fallon Maher is involved in the club in a lot of ways. The family's well known around the club, and also in the parish. You know, the father and the grandfather are both business people, so the family would be well known in the area.
It one of the things that's always said at a time like this, Dominic, is that a community pulls together. But it's clear, listening to you now, and obviously I've heard you on national radio and TV as well over the course of the past 24 hours, that is really what's happening in Kildress and the wider area at the moment. The community is pulling together to try and offer what support it can to the family and also to Roland's wider club mates, also his fellow pupils in St Mary's in Dunamore, because they're obviously all going to be devastated as well.
Yeah, they're all devastated. The classroom assistants and the parents and the pupils, most of them, just saying it's very heartbreaking. Even the people that are involved in the school, everyone is affected by this. And as I say, we just have to give the family strength and the wider community. And we are, and the amount of support we're getting from neighbouring clubs, even the Bundoran club was in contact last night. It's just unreal the way clubs all pull together. No matter what county you're in, the clubs do pull together.
And with obviously a funeral.
And it's great to see it.
And obviously a funeral to be planned in the coming days and a wake and all that goes with that. So for the community in Kildress, I mean, this is going to be a very, very real and raw event for at least the coming week, but for a long time after that as well.
Yeah, it's not just the days, it's the weeks and months ahead, which is going to be difficult, but we just have to stay strong and pull together and just rowing behind the family, and it's not going to be easy, but it has to be done, and we will do it.
Dominic, thanks indeed for speaking to us this morning. I know you've been very busy, and it must be difficult for you, at a time like this, to have people like me constantly asking you questions. But look, you've really, really brought Ronan to life, I think, for many, many people in what you've been saying to us and to others as well. And thank you for that. And thank you for helping us understand just a little of what's happening in that community there in Kildress. Dominic McGurka, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, Dominic. That's Dominic McGurk there. He's the chair of the Kildress Wolf Tones. And in fairness to Dominic, I mean, it's clear that he and his colleagues in the club have been doing an awful lot over the course of the past 24 hours. And you've seen him on your TV screens, I'm sure. You've heard him on radio here. It's testament, I think, to the GA. And sometimes when we talk about the GA, maybe we don't fully acknowledge the role the GA plays in our communities. And I think what we're seeing in Kildress over the course of the past 24 hours is really a testament to what the GA does and what the GA is in terms of the identity of a parish. We'll take a short break. Back after these.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Donal Kavanagh with you until 12 noon today. Now, when we were doing the paper review and obviously focusing on the tragic death of young Ronan in Bundoran, we also referenced the fact that a man died in a serious collision at a rally in County Clare. He's been named as Damien Fleming, and we're joined on the line by Art McCarrick, who is sporting manager with Motorsport Ireland. Art, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal.
Art, obviously here in Donegal, we've seen our share of tragedies during the rally here. It's one, I suppose, of the risks of motorsport in general, but always an extremely sad day and tragic day for you and your colleagues in Motorsport Ireland when you have to speak about a story like this.
It is. Look at our immediate thoughts and focuses at the moment are on Damien Fleming's family and friends and club members and in Killarney and District Motor Club, and every competitor who competes in motorsport is well aware of the risks that our sport carries, but it doesn't make it any easier when days like yesterday happen, and it's a very tough day for the motorsport community, especially when we put such strong effort into safety and competitor safety. It just makes it all the more sad and frustrating when events like yesterday happen.
Damien would have been a very experienced rallier. He'd taken part in well over 100 rallies as a co-driver.
Yeah, he was hugely experienced, had competed in well in excess of 150 events as a co-driver over the last 16, 17 years. Had also driven in a number of events as a driver as well, and was very well known as a competitor on both sides of the border. He competed in championships all around Ireland very regularly with a large number of drivers. So he was a very well-known competitor, yeah.
And obviously there is a huge motorsport community here in Donegal, and I'm sure many of those, if not all of them, would have known Damien Fleming, and our thoughts with them today, because I'm sure he would have had many friends in Donegal, as he would have had in every county in the country.
Yeah, look, you know, motorsport is a somewhat small community, so everyone tends to know everyone, and if you don't, you know someone who knows someone. So, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are feeling very sad and shocked today.
Obviously, full investigations into what happened are going to be carried out by yourselves, I'm sure, in Motorsport Ireland, and Gardaí will be looking into it as well. What do we know that we can say about the events that led up to Damien's death yesterday?
Yeah, so the accident happened at approximately 1:30 p.m. yesterday on stage 4 of the event. And maybe to some of your listeners who wouldn't be over familiar with rallying, the event was round 7 of the Motorsport Ireland National Rally Championship. And all those events would run in the same format. Three stages, three bits of road, run three times. So 9 stages in total. So stage 4, the stage in which the accident occurred, would have run a stage 1 earlier in the morning and ran without incident. But it appears the car in which Damien was travelling stopped with a mechanical problem, and they pulled into the side of the road. And the next one or two cars passed without incident, no problem. But it appears another car then lost control on the approach to where the car had pulled in and hit the stationary car. And as a result of that collision, tragically, Damien was fatally injured. And we activated our serious incident protocols straight away. The event was halted for all other competitors, and all medical resources were focused on the scene. The driver of the second car suffered leg injuries, and he was transported to University Hospital Limerick, where he's in a stable condition, as we understand it, and his injuries are not life-threatening, but Damien surgically succumbed to his injuries at the scene. So, you know, in terms of our investigation that you've referenced there, obviously we know the outcome. We know, you know, the result of yesterday. What we don't know yet are all the causes, and that's what the focus of our investigation will be.
In terms of the other drivers, you say the driver of the second car involved is in hospital at the moment, and I'm sure the thoughts of the motorsport community are with that driver as well, and that driver is going to have a very difficult few weeks, both in terms of healing from a physical injury and also, I'm sure, from a mental point of view as well.
That driver, the co-driver in his car, the driver of the car in which Damien Fleming was in, you know, the following cars that arrived on the scene. So there's going to be a lot of people really badly, you know, traumatised by events that happened yesterday, and we'll be putting the necessary support in place for them when they need them.
Art McCarrick, sporting manager with Motorsport Ireland, thanks indeed for speaking to us this morning. And obviously our thoughts are with you and all involved in this, and first and foremost with Damien Fleming's family.
Thank you, Donal.
Art, thank you. That's Art McCarrick there. He's the sporting manager with Motorsport Ireland. That tragedy that unfolded there in Clare. And as we said in the course of the interview, many, many people in Donegal, obviously motorsport enthusiasts, I'm sure many, many people in Donegal would have known and been very friendly with Damien Fleming, and our thoughts with all of those. We'll be speaking more about traffic in a few moments. Just want to remind you that after 10, well, I say remind you, we haven't told you yet, but we'll tell you first, then we'll start reminding you. We'll be speaking to Sarah Kyo after 10 about food allergies. And if you have any questions, please call us on 07491 25000. You can text or WhatsApp us on 086 60 25000. Caroline is producing and taking your calls out there as well. So please get in touch if you have any comment about food allergies or question for Sarah. Now, staying on the theme of road safety and events on the road, joined in studio by Inspector Seamus McGonigal, who has a road safety message for us. And Seamus, obviously, it's been a tragic few days here in Donegal, Bundoran and Moville.
That's true, Donald. First of all, I'd just like to offer my sympathies to the families involved in the collisions here in Donegal. And also, of course, note that there's been a number of other fatal collisions across the country this weekend as well. It's been a particularly harrowing weekend on the roads. And again, I'm here once again to reiterate the usual story that we're putting out there about the lifesaver offences, about people slowing down, using appropriate speed on the roads, not partaking in alcohols and drugs when you're driving, wearing your seatbelts, and also not using mobile phones. It's a repetitive message, but it's one we make no apologies for emphasising on every occasion we're here. Somebody said to me as I came into the Highland this morning, when you see a guard at Highland on Monday morning, it's usually bad news. Yeah. And unfortunately, that again is the case today.
One thing I do want to say is we don't want in any way, anything we say in this conversation is general and is not referencing any specific incident. And please don't anyone take any inferences that just because we discuss an issue, it doesn't mean that we're inferring that that issue was involved in any particular collision that may have taken place. I just want to say that up front because you don't want to be doing that. In terms of the use of mobile phones, 250 detections over the past while in Donegal.
Yeah, it's difficult to believe when we're repeating this message so much, and people are aware. It's not as if it's something that there's ambivalence about. People are aware that if you're using a mobile phone and driving, you can't be concentrating fully on what you're doing, and thereby you're causing a hazard for yourself on the roads and for other road users. But yet, as you see the figures, as you say, Donal, 279 people, I think, up until the end of August, have been given tickets and fixed charge notices for using mobile phones. And really and truly, you can't pass the buck on that. Every individual has to take responsibility. It's no point speaking, making excuses about it. You just should not use a mobile phone when you're driving.
And seatbelts as well. Some people still detected not wearing seatbelts. Now, I don't know what it is, but certainly I know my car is a newer model. And if you haven't got your seatbelt on when you've travelled 100 metres in my car, I'm telling you, my car fairly screams at you. And most cars do, I think, at this point.
They do indeed. The point about seatbelts, I think there is a huge amount of compliance out there. You know, the vast majority of people actually do wear their seatbelts when out there. The stark fact is that 20% of people who actually die in fatal collisions haven't been wearing their seatbelts. So there's a very exact correlation between not wearing your seatbelt and being involved in a serious or fatal collision. The important thing, and you're correct in what you say about cars nowadays, they give warning sounds if you don't wear your seatbelt. But we've actually seen occasions where people plug in, or I don't know if that's the right word, but they attach their seatbelt behind them rather than wearing it over their shirt and tie or their dress or whatever the case may be, which is up to the height of silliness, to say the least. And another point too, when we're chatting about seatbelts, is you have to wear your seatbelt properly. I know there's a temptation, especially when people are backseat passengers, that they can be slumped down in the car or leaning forward to speak to the driver or whatever, and they kind of don't wear it correctly. If you don't wear your seatbelt correctly, you might as well not be wearing a seatbelt at all. And I know specific examples over the years where people ended up dead, let's call it, you know, people ended up dead simply because they weren't wearing their seatbelt properly. So again, for those who haven't changed their seatbelt use, they should at all times wear their seatbelt and wear it properly.
The Road Safety Authority, in conjunction with Gardaí, have now launched the campaign for no deaths or serious injuries on Irish roads by 2050. Now, it's a very ambitious target, and the point's been made, it's not a target that's going to be met by enforcement alone. If it's going to be met, it's going to require huge changes in driver attitudes.
Absolutely. When we speak about changes in attitude, really there's enforcement, engineering and education. There's only so much the Gardaí can do in terms of enforcement. It's really down to driver responsibility. It's down to education, the message getting across and people taking it board to not, as I said earlier, not to use alcohol or drugs, to wear their seatbelts and not use mobile phones. The one I left at the end is the factor that's probably the most serious of all is speeding. You know, there are so many other factors, but 33% plus of people who end up dead in traffic collisions, it's a direct result of speeding. So the one thing too, and I like to make a point of it, is when we speak of speed, it's appropriate speed. It doesn't matter what it says in the sign. It can be 100, it can be 80, 50, whatever the case may be. That is the maximum legal speed you can go on any road. But the appropriate speed is quite often an awful lot less than what it says on the sign. So it's up to us all as individuals to take responsibility, to slow down and to drive at an appropriate speed given the conditions at any given time.
In terms of the penalty point situation, the suggestion has been made that when penalty points were first introduced, it had a massive impact because it was a very, very stark punishment that if you transgressed, then there would be consequences. You'd have a fine, but you'd also have these points on your licence, and potentially if you built up enough of them, you'd use your licence. Have we got to the point where people have become so used to penalty points now that perhaps that they don't have the same impact that they might have had 20 years ago or so when they first came in?
I don't think so, Donal. I don't think so. And you are aware that they've basically been doubled in value. There was across the board, nearly most of the fixed charge penalty offences were €80. They're €160 now, the vast majority of them. And that's a substantial enough increase. It is. People become very aware of penalty points once they get 3 points because they know then they're on the countdown to losing their licence. I think the message is still out there.
Yeah.
I can't see what the authorities really could do to make it any more stringent or, people are aware.
And the road safety advertising, I mean, I noticed the focus now on Mary Ward, the latest advertisements that we're seeing on TV, issued by the RSA, which obviously backed by and supported by yourselves in Garda Síochána, in terms of the first person to lose their life in an accident on Irish roads, and it happened in the 1850s, 1860s, if I recall. But, I mean, you know, and the points being made that Mary Ward was the first to lose her life, and that, you know, sadly, countless thousands have been lost since then globally. And here in this country, I mean, thousands of lives have been lost over the years. There was a time, up to relatively recently, when there was a sign up at the start of every county, and it would say, "Welcome to Donegal, 104 lives lost over the past 5 years." That was discontinued. Did that perhaps provide a warning and a starkness that perhaps we're now losing and we're now missing? Or was that an effective campaign? It's a difficult one because, it wasn't, it's like, welcome to Donegal, people have died here. It wasn't,
Or I recall it.
And it's not that, well, it's what, 10, 15 years ago, probably,
I distinctly remember the signs, actually. Anything that publicises the loss of life on our roads is useful and important. And I know the RSA, in conjunction with the Gardaí, there's various campaigns over the years. And yes, I've heard that Mary Ward campaign. But it's all about getting the message out. How you go about it, the nuts and bolts of what sort of campaign you're on. We're always looking at various different media campaigns. But we just, and it's repetitive. I'm up here, and thanks you very much for giving us the airtime. But it's repetitive, and it's the same all the time. Just slow down. Please slow down on the road. If you could do nothing else except slow down, it'll be a huge factor in the safety of people using the roads.
Now, I know we saw figures less than a fortnight ago that showed that the actual number of road deaths in Donegal were down on the same period last year, which bucks the national trend. But sadly, as you say, we've had two more in the past 4 days, one in Moville on Friday, one sadly in Bundoran on Saturday night. And hopefully, if there is a focus on driver attitudes, as we've said, maybe we can ensure that by the end of this year we see a firm reduction in Donegal. And obviously we want to see no road deaths at all in Donegal or nationally. Do you believe that 2050 target can be reached?
Well, it's something we have to aspire to. Because one death, it's not a flippant common sense. One death is a death too many on the roads because they're preventable. So, yes, it's. I can't but agree with the sentiment behind that campaign.
Inspector Seamus McGonigal, unless there's anything else you want to say, Seamus, before we bring this to an end, I think it is a very stark message.
Yeah.
It's a very stark message. Slow down, don't use your mobile phone, use your seatbelt properly, and drive. And I suppose, really, if there's a key message, it's drive to the conditions, not to the rules and regulations.
Absolutely. The appropriate speed. Appropriate speed. And as I said earlier, the 100 or the 80 or whatever on the signpost, that's the maximum legal speed. That is not the appropriate or safe or the correct speed you should be driving at.
Yeah. Inspector Seamus McGonigal, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donal.
A comment with regards to the rugby match on Saturday night. That wasn't a game on Saturday, that was a war. Well, it may well have been, but believe you me, both sides gave and take equally. I mean, there was no quarter asked or given. Absolutely no doubt about that. Good morning, Donal. They're worried about €1 billion overspend in the health service, yet they threw €40 billion into it during COVID. No problem then. Where did that money go? Was there ever even an audit? We need a public inquiry into COVID, so says a caller. We mentioned average house prices, and the average house price in Donegal, 157,000. 30,000 in comparison to a national average of about 300,000. Donegal, the lowest in the country. And a quarter says that average price in Donegal is actually inflated, they believe, given the huge number of mica-affected properties. This the accurate valuation of those properties should be the site value minus demolition and removal costs. Now, I suppose these figures aren't based on current housing stock. These figures are based on what's being asked and offered in estate agents and so on and so forth. But it's a very valid point that there are many mica properties and other defective block causes in the county, and that is having a huge impact on the housing market. Now, you could equally say that, I mean, as a result of defective blocks, is that going to have an impact on supply, which ironically could actually drive that figure up, because it's going to have an impact on supply, and limited supply means prices, according to standard economic models, limited supply means prices will rise. So the defective block crisis and its impact could be an impact that sees price that sees prices rise rather than fall. However, I have Leaving Cert Economics. I'm not an economist. I have Leaving Cert Economics. And sometimes Leaving Cert Economics from 40 years ago can be the most dangerous type of economics of all, I suspect. A letter's come through. It says, as I travel around the county and I listen to you on the Friday morning show, I myself worked in Letterkenny 25 years ago. Then Letterkenny was a very nice, tidy town. Clearly there are some buildings in the area that could do with some paint. Some Friday morning bring in some councillors, and the following week bring in the TDs and ask them what have they done for Letterkenny. It's an interesting point. Now, I suppose part of the thing there is most premises you'll be passing are private premises, but certainly any area where places are painted and they're done up. Now, we do have an issue with dereliction, and Donegal County Council and the national government are introducing measures to try and deal with dereliction and vacant properties and ensure that they are brought back into use and they are brought back into and made better looking as such. Interesting point here. Donal, over the weekend I had a need to call NowDoc. The amount of time spent convincing me that I didn't need an appointment and to see my own GP on Monday was ridiculous. What is the point in having that service if they're pushing you to wait? It's no wonder the emergency department is full to capacity. And that's now, I know part of the model of NowDoc is you make an initial call and then you get through, if I'm correct in saying, initially to a nurse, and the nurse will triage you over the phone, and once you've spoken, then the nurse will make an assessment based on what you say to the nurse, and the nurse will then make an assessment on whether or not you need a doctor's visit or not. That may be the case here, but obviously can't confirm. Now, caller says, I heard in the grapevine during the week that tenders are out for the bridge over the Swilly at Letterkenny. Apparently, this bypass falls under the A5 upgrade linking Letterkenny to Strabane onto the A5. Can anyone confirm? We will make inquiries. I absolutely doubt that's the case, to be honest, caller. I do know that the bridge over the Swilly, the Bonnaghy Link as it's called, it's one of the most talked about things. We are nowhere near tender stage. You have got to go through very detailed plans. You've then got to go through potentially compulsory purchase or land purchase, because obviously land's got to be identified. Preferred route's got to be identified. And once that's been identified, there's going to have to be discussions with landowners, because not all the land is going to be in public ownership. You may potentially have compulsory purchase, or you may have deals done, which obviously the preference is to have deals done with landowners. There are plans in place. There are theoretical plans in place. I doubt very much if we're anywhere near tender. I mean, tender stage effectively means you have the plans, you have the detailed documents, you have all the land, you have the permissions, and you have the money to start building. That's the point tenders go out. I don't think we are anywhere near that at the moment. I wish we were, but no, we're nowhere near that. Now, the faster we get there, the better. But we will certainly make inquiries, but no, I don't think we're anywhere near tenders at this point in time. Just to remind you again that we'll be speaking to Sarah Keogh about food allergies. That's coming up after the 10 o'clock news. You can call us on 0749125000, 086 60 25000 for your text or WhatsApp messages. One or two more comments. On Saturday night on the way home on the Drumkeen Road, a car pulled out to pass me while another car was oncoming. I was terrified of the driver's behaviour. In the panic, I only got a bit of the number plate. Is there anything I can do about it? I suppose if you wanted to let Gardaí know and pass on what you have and see if they want to take it any further. That's all I can suggest, to be honest. I agree about driving on Donegal roads. The caller says no one seems to be listening or learning. We need more visibility of patrol cars on the roads, so says a caller. Now, caller says on the issue of the Three Amigos jetting off to the UN. Now, that's the fact that when the Dáil resumed last week, the Taoiseach Elia Varadkar, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, and the leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, were all at an EU summit in New York, as was the Health Minister. And in a piece of unfortunate timing for Stephen Donnelly, that happened when the whole Temple Street inappropriate surgical operating springs, etc. Discussion broke, and you had a situation where the three government party leaders plus the Health Minister were all in New York. This correspondent says it's worth noting that the EU and UN, as well as the G8 countries, quite fancy the idea of a national identity card linked to a programmable digital currency and a CO2 emissions annual allowance. Rich people who wish to travel by air more often can purchase emissions allowances from poor people who can't afford to travel. The suggestion is that this will provide additional income for the poorer members of society while being environmentally friendly. Such a system already exists on an international level. The European Union Emissions Trading Scheme allows countries to buy friendly blocks from other countries to assist in meeting their own targets. For example, China at one point wanted to buy Croatia to use Irish forests against its own national emissions targets. In reality, it'll further extend the gap between the poor and rich and result in a fully controlled society. Cash is king. Use it or lose it. Now, that's about three different points being made by our caller there, but thank you very much indeed for your interest. Another caller says, I was on my way to work in Letterkenny University Hospital on Friday night. I was passing Ballymacool heading toward a roundabout. I heard a loud bang on my passenger window. I got a shock as I wasn't expecting it. I stopped the car to see two young people behind a hedge throwing things at cars that were passing. The road was a mess. I don't know what it was. The force of the item thrown at my car, I thought the window was cracked. I should have rung the guards, but didn't. I did see them and what they were wearing. I regret not taking out my phone and taking a video as they were running away, but I was in shock. I was a nervous wreck passing that spot again in the morning, but when I finished working again last night, I will always, every time I'm passing this spot, be nervous as I don't know what will be thrown next. This needs to be highlighted and parents should speak to their children. I would say, look, in the first instance, I would always say to people in this instance, tell the Gardaí. Ring the Gardaí. It may well be that the Gardaí are aware it was happening. It may well be that the Gardaí are on top of this and are investigating it. It may also be that 10 people all went up that road at the same time and 10 people all thought to themselves, oh, it's okay, someone will call the guards. And you know the old saying, everyone said someone would do it, but no one did. And that's, you know, I can't remember that whole full story, but you may remember it. I was certainly given it ad nauseum by my mum back in the day. Caller says he has an electric car and yesterday there were no chargers available in Letterkenny except one fast charger. There were four cars sitting waiting to use it. The rest of the chargers are slow chargers that take 8 to 10 hours to charge the cars. Also, we need to ask the question, if we're changing cars to electric for green purposes, then why are we using fossil fuels to run the charging points? We need to use nuclear power like France does. We don't have the infrastructure for electric cars. We're heading for a total mess if this issue isn't fixed. So says a caller. It's an interesting one. It is an interesting one. On the one hand, a lot of people are interested in electric and would be prepared to buy electric. But the fear a lot of people have is that they will look at buying electric, but ultimately they will not have the charging facilities and be able to do it.